tired, excited. I'm tired, so good for you if you're not. Okay, so thank you guys so much for having me here. It's crazy. Thank you. Very sweet of you. it's crazy that I'm here. I used to be in your seat, and it's a testament to God's goodness that I am standing before you. And now, lucky you, you get to hear me talk for the next 45 minutes. So as they said, I went to Franciscan. I just graduated in the spring. And for those of you who are familiar with it, Franciscan has this program where you can study abroad in Austria for 4 months. You get to live in this campus, and you can travel every weekend going to different countries. And then they also give you like a 5-day break and a 10-day break to go wherever you want. So me and about 8 other girls decided we were going to go to France, Lourdes in France, and then Spain. And so we're in France, and we're leaving. Before I continue, have any of you guys ever done something where you felt really dumb in front of a large crowd of people? Okay, welcome to my life. Yes, this is me all the time. So we're leaving France, and I'm like walking up this hill. I've got this big backpack on, and I gracefully trip over my own foot and fall forwards up a hill, which I didn't know was possible, but I'm here to tell you that it is. And I fall, and I look up, and I see my roommate taking pictures of the whole thing. And I was like, my first thought was not like, ouch, this hurts. Did I break a bone? I should probably get up. I look ridiculous. I was like, how were her reflexes faster than mine that she took out a phone before I could catch myself falling forwards up a hill? Still not sure how that was possible, but so we continue on. We get to this train station in Spain, and we were trying to find our next train. We didn't know where it was because we're American. And we get to the clerk, and we're like, can you tell us where our train is? We don't know where it is. And there's a language barrier, so she just explained to us that there were footprints, blue painted footprints on the ground, and that if we followed them, that we would get to our train. So we're like, okay, follow the yellow brick road. And we start 8 girls walking in a line like this because the footprints go like this. Then we look back, and we're like, okay, a straight line would have been just as fine. But we get to the train. And we get on the train, or clarification, I get on the train, and the doors start to close, and all my friends are standing outside, and I was like, no, like slow motion. And then I decide, natural reaction, that I was going to try and pry the doors open and keep them open. I don't know if I thought I was the Hulk or what was going through my brain at that point, but I just sat there and like tried to hold them open. My friend gets on, and I'm like, okay, well, at least you're on. Now I'm not alone, because there's no way, you don't have cell service, you don't know where anything is, everything's foreign, not even the same language, all that stuff. And so I was like, okay, thank God that she's on here, but we still have like 6 other girls outside. And so then it was at this point that I stand back and look to my left and notice that there's a woman standing in front of the other door, and she just goes, boop, presses this button in the middle of the door. And I'm sure you guys can guess at this point what that button does. It opens the doors. So the train was not leaving. The doors were not closing. I just thought that they were. And so she opens up the doors and they go, and I also recognize at this point how many people were standing around me, staring at me and being entertained by my humiliation. So I tell you guys this story not to prove to you how humiliating or strange I can be in front of large groups of people, but because it is how I am with God in my relationship with God. I decide that I don't trust him and that he's not going to take care of me, and I don't know what's going to happen. So instead of just stepping back and trusting him, I decide to try and pry the doors open and control my life every step of the way. Because what happens if he's not there? Is he going to fail me? Am I going to fail? How can I trust that he wants my good? And so I decide to try and control it and pry those doors open. So as I said, I've attended Franciscan, and during going to Franciscan, I started to find my faith. And I always, you know, was born and raised Catholic, the whole, you know, shebang, everybody, a lot of you have the same story, born and raised Catholic, but I always loved God and all of that, but I never knew what it was to have a true relationship with God. I thought that I knew what it was, but I didn't know what that was, especially once I put work into it. And so I went to Franciscan, and like slowly but surely, I was like, wait a second, this is like new. This is good. I'm not bored at Mass. What the heck? Like, this is strange. And through that, it happened because of music for me. That was the avenue that God kind of started to pursue me. And I did music ministry, and I would just fall in love with the Mass every time I was there. And I noticed, I was like, every time I'm like singing at Mass, it's my favorite part of the week. Like, how did that happen? Like, Mass used to be my least favorite part of the week. And God kind of just like serenaded me, I say, like through music. And I felt this, what I call is a call. I felt this call to pursue music. And I explained that as like my mind didn't understand why or how I was being called to do this, but my heart and my soul just knew. But I didn't know what that meant. And so I was sitting in my car one day and I was like, okay, God, simple prayer. Like, I feel like you're calling me to do this. You're asking me to do music and to write music and to share it with people. But there's something you should know. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I have no idea how to do this. And I'm really just not that good. I really believed I had little talent. And I was like, I don't understand why you're asking me to do this. There's so many other people who could be doing this. Like, why me? And then I decided that if he wanted me to do it, I was like, you're going to have to lead me every part of the way because I won't be able to do it on my own. And I need you every step of the way, like those blue footprints on the ground to the train. I need you to lead me. And he did. You know, it would just happen. Door would open and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I guess I'll sing for this. Yeah, sure. I guess I'll sing for this. But something that came along with that was this feeling and the lies of not being good enough. Not just in the sense of music, but in the sense of who I was as a person in every area of my life. I just had these feelings and thoughts of, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You shouldn't be doing this. And it took me a while to recognize it, but these were the lies of the enemy. And it was very difficult for me to understand how to continue on and persevere through those. But I came to this conclusion that the reason he doesn't want me to do this is because he doesn't want me to follow God's will for me. Because if I do follow God's will for me, he doesn't have me anymore. And this is the same for all of you. The devil knows this and he tries to lie to you guys and tell you you're not good enough. You don't have the talents. You can't pursue this. It's too hard. You should just stop. Who do you think you are? Because he knows that if every single one of us follows that will or that call that we feel, we're going to wreck hell. And that's the last thing that he wants. And so he's going to tell you whatever lie he can conjure up. And I believed it. I believed it for a long time. And I didn't really know how to continue on. And so I wrote this song called Enough. And the thing about this song is that I wrote it before I had these this struggle with not feeling that I was enough. And at the time when I was writing it, I was like, I don't know why I'm writing this, but I just feel like I need to write it and whatever. And so I wrote it. And then a few months later, when all this was happening, I just sat down and started playing in it. And I was like, oh, I get it. That's why I wrote this song. So I'm going to play this one for you.
Blood and water flowing. Side of the one who has given everything for my selfish sin. How can I be enough for such a glorious king? You say that giving you a last breath. shame you made their fate. For love, you say that I am enough. You say that I am enough.
Thank you, guys. So another thing that I came to have to deal with while I was at Franciscan, and I'm sure a lot of you have dealt with this in various forms, is that of anxiety. And if you know what it's like to feel anxiety or something along those lines, it can be very isolating and lonely. And it's something that you need to figure out on your own, but yet you can't control it. So it's super confusing to figure out, like, wait, why am I feeling this? Why do I have anxiety? And it's hard to decipher why. And so for me, it got to the point where I couldn't ignore it anymore. You know, it was every day. It was all the time. And I was having panic attacks. And I was like, what is happening to me? Like, what is going on? And so I needed to come like face to face with it and be like, I can't ignore this anymore, because now it's affecting like my every day. And so up until this point, I had done 3 years at Franciscan, and I decided that I needed to take time off from school, which was very difficult because I was very school-driven, and I had worked for 3 years to get into a master's program. And so I was like, you're crazy, why are you doing this? But I did it anyway. And it was a great time for me because I was able to take a step back and look at, okay, God, what are you asking of me? Not what do I want to do? What are my aspirations? It's like, what are you asking of me? Do you want me to continue on? Am I on the wrong path? What is going on? And I just would ask him these questions. And it was good because during this semester, I was able to travel and do music for different Christian artists. And so I was able to travel to different places in California for Life Teen and NCYC and all of these amazing things. And for me, it was like this confirmation that I was supposed to continue on in this journey. And in that time, God was asking me to take a step further. And that was to record a short album. But as soon as I was like considering it, all of those thoughts flooding back in, you're not good enough. Why should you do this? There are so many other people who could be doing this. You should just stop. Let somebody else do it. Your songs aren't good enough. It's just not worth it. And again, I believed it. But a lot of, you know, people were supporting me and were like, no, you need to do this. You need to share your music. And so I decided to do a Kickstarter campaign, which is a crowdfunding. And you can put this up online and people can donate to your project. And so I did this, and the goal was $7,000 in 30 days. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's a little steep. I don't know if this is going to happen. And then I pressed like the go live button. I launched it. And as soon as I did, I was like filled with fear. I was like, oh my gosh, what'd you do? Why'd you do that? Like, there's no going back now. And everybody's going to see that you failed, and it's going to be horrible and embarrassing and all of these things. And for the next 20 of those 30 days, I believed that. I was like, yeah, it's going to fail. I don't think it's going to work at all. And all of my trust went into my fear. And I believed more in my fear than I did in what God was asking of me, or more than I did that he willed my good. And it wasn't until about a week out that I finally had peace, because I had this realization that I was like, you know what, God, like, the reason that I want to do this is so that I can be with you. And so if you don't want this to happen, don't make it work, because all I really want is to be with you and to be united to your kingdom and to your heart. And if this is not the way that it happens, then make it fail. That's fine with me. I don't care, because that was the sole purpose of this anyway. I don't care if it's humiliating. It doesn't matter. Thankfully, that's not what happened. It did get funded, praise God. And I decided to call it Lead Me. And the reason for this was because, not just because I came across this Bible verse, but also because it was my prayer that day in my car. God, just lead me. I don't know what to do. You have to lead me. And then I came across this Bible verse, which I would like to read to you guys. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And to me, that summed up everything. My heart is faint. I am weak. I can't do this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But I had a really difficult time giving up that control. You know, the comfort of our control is something we don't want to let go of. As humans, we like to be comfortable. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. We're like, this is my little bubble of comfort. Don't step in it. I'm not going to step out of it. This is good. I'm happy here. But then I'm reminded of what Pope Benedict XVI says when he says, this world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. And this is true for every single person sitting in this room. In various forms, we were all made for greatness. And we have the ability to follow whatever those desires of our hearts are in order to achieve that greatness. And it's up to us if we want to, if we're able to come out of that comfort zone and put ourselves in an uncomfortable, vulnerable position. But ultimately, that's what this life is going to be. And it leads us to a greater place, though. It's not just to its own end. And the thing that can come along with this as well are these obstacles. You know, as in our human brains, we come up with these obstacles. You're like, oh, that could happen, and this could happen, X, Y, Z could happen, so I'm not even going to try. I'm going to stay here because I don't want to know what will happen if I let go and if I see, you know, what God has in store. So how many of you have watched or seen VeggieTales? That's what I thought, yeah. So the number one lesson that VeggieTales tells us, besides the fact that Larry is always losing his hairbrush, is that God is bigger than the boogeyman, right? Can we all agree? We all learned that lesson. So to me, these obstacles are like the boogeyman, which sounds kind of funny, but it's true. We're so afraid of them. We're like, oh my gosh, this could happen, that could happen. I don't even want to know. And what did we learn? God is bigger than the... Right, exactly. So he's bigger than the boogeyman. And even though that sounds funny, it is the truth, because whether or not we realize it, these things that we see as obstacles, or that we're afraid of our future, or we're afraid of the things that we're being asked to do, are essentially the boogeyman. But these obstacles, they don't exist in God's mind. He doesn't see them as obstacles, and he doesn't ask us to tackle them on our own. He asks us to look to him and to surrender to him, because if we try to figure out this life without him, nothing makes sense. I've tried it. Been there, done that. It doesn't make any sense. You're like, how come that's happening? This doesn't make any sense. My brain's filled with all of these things that are going on. I don't get it. Like, how does this work? And we're not going to understand it unless we look at it through the lens of the one who created that plan. He was the one who set it into motion. He knows every turn. And if we look to him, he's going to lead us. He opens up a door and he opens up another door until it leads us to him, which is essentially what we're all looking for. There's this something inside of every single one of us that is seeking to know love, to know truth, to be validated in who we are. And essentially, we're looking to know God because that's who he is. Whether or not we realize it always, we're seeking the one who created our souls, and our souls were made to find him and be united with him. And until we recognize that and we long for that, we're going to have this desire to move forward and outside of ourselves, but we don't know why. What am I looking for? Okay, I want to be loved. Great. Why? I want to know truth. Why do you want to know truth? Because our souls know that there is something beyond just us, and that they were made to be in union with him. And until we recognize that, we're just going to keep searching and filling it with things that don't make any sense, and we're going to continue to be confused. And something I've had a difficult time with is having to surrender that. You know, God calls us to do these things, but he doesn't call us to do them alone. He asks us to give over those things. You know, we don't become saints by making ourselves perfect and then presenting ourselves to him. You know, we become holy and we become saints by saying, here's my brokenness, God. I need you to fix it. I need you to heal it. And that's how we become who we are meant to be, and holy and whole. For me, things that I had a hard time surrendering were fear, my control, my anxiety, my desires. I needed those things to be separate from who I was and stop identifying them as, this is just me. I'm Molly. I'm fear. This is who I am. I needed to take those things and say, here, because I can't do it. It's too much. Like, the pressure is too much, and I can't handle it. And so I want you guys to close your eyes real quick. And I want you to think of those things that you need to surrender. Whether it's fear, your brokenness, your wounds, the comfort of your control, whatever those things are, take them and say, here, God, because I can't do it. Because that's what he wants of us. He doesn't want us to say that we have it all figured out. And so I wrote this song as per usual, about surrendering and how fear had a grip on my life, and I was allowing it to be the dictator, and I was allowing it to guide me instead of God. And I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. And so that's what this song is about. So I want to talk about three people, very prominent people within our church who were extremely holy and close to God, but who were also not without their struggles. The first of which is Moses. So Moses was told to speak to a rock and a river would flow from it. And in his doubt, he struck the rock with his rod. And so I want to read this passage for you. It's Numbers 27 through 12. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff and assemble the community, you and Aaron, your brother. and in their presence command the rock to yield its waters. Thereby you will bring forth water from the rock for them and supply the community and their livestock with water. So Moses took the staff from its place before the Lord, as he was ordered. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock, where he said to them, "Just listen, you rebels. Are we to produce water for you out of this rock?" Then raising his hand, Moses struck the rock twice with his staff, and water came out in abundance, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not have confidence in me to acknowledge my holiness before the Israelites, therefore you shall not lead this assembly into the land I have given them. And although my name is not Moses, I am like Moses," where God's like, "All right, just speak to this rock. All you have to do is speak to it, and a river is going to flow from it." And I'm like, "How about I hit it twice with this stick instead? How does that work? And if that doesn't work, then how about I try it your way? Because I think my way is probably going to work better." And there's this river of life that is flowing from us, flowing from our hearts. I think of this rock like my heart. And the river of life, which is God, is flowing from me. But I don't always have the faith to believe that or the eyes to see that. And Audrey Assad wrote this song about this, and I want to play that for you guys. It's way better than anything I'm going to do today. But and when I play it, I just pray that we ask God for the eyes to see and the faith to believe, because he is the river of life. And through him, we can do all things, but without him, we cannot. And all we need to do is recognize that he's there and that he is the river of life.
You are the ocean, you call me out into the tide, so deep, so wide. You are the fountain, you are the spring that won't run dry, you don't run dry. You are the ocean, you call me out into the tide, so deep, so wide. You are the fountain, you are the spring that won't run dry, you don't run dry. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Speak life, your living water rising up. You are the ocean, you call me out into the tide, so deep, so wide. You are the fountain, you are the spring that won't run dry, you don't run dry. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Spirit of life, your living water rising up. Overflow from this heart of stone. Oh, overflow till it's all I know. Open my eyes to see the river in the rock. Spirit of life, your living water rising up.
Thank you. All right, so the next person I want to talk about is Saint Mother Teresa, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. She was a wonderful, courageous woman of God who gave her life over so that she could take care of the poor and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for the sick as they had no one to care for them. But something that maybe not everybody knows, maybe you are aware of this, is that she went through years and years and years of spiritual drought and dryness, which means she didn't feel God's presence at all. She didn't feel his love. She didn't even know if he was really there anymore, but she did not relent in her persistence to do what she knew he was asking of her. She never wavered in her faith. And I'm going to come back to her in just a moment, but I want to talk about St. Thomas as well, the Doubting Thomas, the infamous Doubting Thomas. So he was in the upper room, and they had been told that Christ had risen from the dead. And he said that he would not believe until he felt the wounds in Christ's hand and in his side. And I'm just thankful that he was born first, because otherwise I would have gotten stuck with the name Doubting Molly, which would stink. Can you imagine doubting one time and then for thousands of years getting stuck with a nickname for it? Yeah, so that's what happened with him. And so I was sitting there one day and I was thinking about this, and I was like, okay, Thomas, like, you had the ability to feel Christ's wounds, to know he was real. You didn't even need to have this blind faith. He gave you this opportunity. And I was like, but I don't get that. Like, that's not fair. I don't get to know that he's there and real. How, like, where's my confirmation of this? And so I started writing a song about it. And as I was thinking all these things, like, wait, this is unfair. I want to do this. The next thought that I had was, blessed are those who believe without their sight. Because God calls us to further, to more than that. You know, Thomas had the ability to, you know, feel Christ's wounds in his hand and his side, but he asks more of us to believe without sight. And so I'm going to play this song for you. This is not going to, I have an EP coming out, which is a short album, and this will not be on it. So it's an exclusive.
Oh, Thomas, did you finally see the light? Oh, Thomas, did his wounds convince your mind? When you touched his hands and felt his side, was everything made right? Did your doubts turn to truth? Did your fear consume you? 'Cause I don't have his hands to touch and his side to feel, but I still want to know he's real. Blessed are the ones who believe without their sight. God, through this doubt, I'll fight. Teresa, were you scared he'd left your side? Oh, Teresa, did the loneliness leave you dry? Only emptiness was felt inside, still you gave your whole life. In doubt you found truth, no fear was shown in you. 'Cause I don't have his hands to touch and his side to feel, but I still want to know he's real. Blessed are the ones who believe without their sight. got through this doubt, I'll give you my whole life.
Thank you, guys. Okay, so I promise I'm almost done. Okay, so something I want you guys to think about is that when God calls us to these things that are difficult, and when we feel like everything is horrible, there's too many things going on, the weight of the world is on your shoulders, which I know all of us have felt this at one point or another, whether it's school or friends or social media or all of these things that you're just like, oh, it's too much, I can't do it. I've been there, I know you've been there. But the thing that's so beautiful about God is he never asks us to do it alone. He doesn't sit there and say, like, you got this, you can do it, go ahead, I believe in you. He's like, no, let me do it with you. I just want you to abide with me. He asks us to abide with him. And this hit me really hard one day when I was really struggling with my anxiety. It was a really, really low point, and I was like, oh, I can't do it anymore. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I came across this verse. It's John 15:4-5. It says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And so when we have these things, these desires, like, I want to do this with my life, I want to do this, and God, I can't do it alone. It's too much to do it alone. The stresses of the world are upon me. He just says, that's okay, just abide with me. Surrender those things to me and allow me to do it for you. Allow me to take it on because I can and I want to. And God came down to be human. And when he did that, he experienced all of human suffering that we could ever imagine. Physical pain, because he was crucified on the cross in the most horrific way we can imagine. Most physical pain a human can endure. He knew what it meant to be abandoned when his friends were in the garden and he was alone and he was praying there and he asked them not to fall asleep and they did. And he knew what it was to be betrayed when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. He knows human suffering. And he didn't do this so that he knew human suffering. He did it so that we know that he knows. So that when we are coming to him in our brokenness and we're just tired and we can't do it anymore, we know that he knows what it is. He's a God who understands the suffering and wants to take it on for us, not only when he did it on the cross, but every single day when we call upon him. He just asks us to abide with him and to be with him. And so I'm going to sing this song I wrote called Abide, and this is probably the one that's closest.